The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Are you searching for something new? Something exciting? Your dream job in paradise? Well, look no further. Royal Beach Club Paradise Island is hiring. Join a dynamic group of passionate hospitality professionals, craft unforgettable moments, and thrive in a vibrant, welcoming atmosphere. Play your part in shaping the future of our team while growing your own career every day. Bring your energy, your passion, and your creativity to a workplace that's as dynamic and fun as you are. At Royal Beach Club Paradise Island, the opportunities don't just exist. They're limitless. So are you ready to find your perfect fit? Visit Royal Beach Club at paradiseisland.com/career today and step into a world of exciting possibilities.
Hey sis, are you ready to reset, refocus, and rise? It's time for the Unstoppable Weekend, happening November 8th and 9th in Freeport, Grand Bahama. Join us for two unforgettable days of empowerment. Saturday's luncheon brings inspiration, connection, and sisterhood. Sunday, Stuck to Unstoppable workshop, focusing on shifting mindsets, breaking limiting beliefs, and equipping you with the tools to step boldly into your next season. Register today at www.heysisempowerment.com. Your unstoppable journey starts now.
It's time for Tell It to Stanya.
It's all about you. Ooh, let's peel away the layers and focus on you. Ooh, what's going on inside? Let's talk about love and truth and the matter of who we are. Let's find out together on Tell It to Stanya.
Pleasant good afternoon. That's right. Tell It to Stanya. I am she, and she is definitely me. Guest, co-host/guest, you can hear with your headphones? Okay. The number one producer coming in here right now to sort you out. All right, guys. Yes, welcome to Saturday, and welcome to Tell It to Stanya. I'm getting it together. It could be together in 2 seconds. Yeah, in 2 seconds. But anyway, in the meantime, once again, you know, I be living all kind of lifetimes. And before I forget, I want to say thank you, Mr. Stipend. I could tell you a little bit of that, but thank you, Mr. Stipend. That's all I got to say. Thank you, Mr. Stipend. See, y'all don't be loving up Tell It to Stanya, but that's all right. Some people be loving up Tell It to Stanya, and I got something I could throw on y'all in a minute. But anyhow, that's not why we're here today. And today I promised that I was going to behave myself today. And I know last week I said that I was behaving myself. And I behaved myself last week. I really didn't behave myself at all. However, Mr. Keith is here with me. And Mr. Keith does not know that version of Tell It to Stanya. Therefore, I, Stanya Omika Davis, will be behaving herself today. That's all I got to say. So I want to see. I don't see somebody sending in a text message. I scared to even read that. Although I am so happy too that you guys entertain my madness with the show. I am thankful that you call in. I'm thankful that you interact with me. I'm thankful that you guys even text me and message me on Facebook. So thank you for listening in. I really appreciate you. I couldn't do it without you if I didn't have a listening audience. So thank you so much. All right, let me see what this text message say before we start. Let me see if this my number one text voice said. Hold on. Let me see what's going on here. Christ Jesus. Okay. Okay, so he says, Stanya, I will be like Mr. Stipend if you send my thing in the can. Okay. Listen, he is lobbying for his person. And you know what? That's coming because someone else actually asked me about matchmaking thing. I noticed something with y'all. I could tell y'all how I help misunderstood people like with businesses when they're teaming along or when the employee's behaving badly. I could talk about when I work in with the insurance them. I could talk about everything. The only thing y'all remember but tell it to Stanley is the fact that I was a matchmaker at some point. God ain't pleased with this type of behavior at all. But don't worry. Number one text person, it's coming. We're going to do a dinner. So you know what? Message me too if you're interested. And women, yeah, make sure you're all together. Fellas, man, come on now. Hold on. Let me sip my tea. And I got tea for truth. Hold on. Guys, I love you, but please have your stuff together. If you want to be part of this dinner date experience, you listen. Anyway, because Mr. Keith have something that we're going to talk about, and I actually saw something, Mr. Dean, that should be applied to when women looking for... I just saying. So I'm gonna say that when we get to that part of the show. But anyhow, want to introduce my... listen, I got to read this. This is a big one, and I'm really excited about this today. All right. So today I want to introduce... I feel like he was on the show before, though, but anyhow. Mr. Keith Dean, for starters, we already have a caller coming through. Oh, my God. Okay. Anyway, Mr. Keith Dean, well, his daughter was on the show before, Sage Marketing. So, hi, Juliet. You want to tell Juliet hi, Mr. Dean?
Hello, Juliet.
Right. So, Mr. Keith Dean, he's a Juliet and other kids as well. I'm sure he'll tell us more about that. But he is the author of the book, Real Dogs Love Their Puppies. Now, we could go on and talk about how Mr. Keith Dean, by the way, is the founder and the CEO of The Business of You, a personal development and business consulting firm with over a decade. You could turn off your phone or to put it on silent. Mm-hmm. With over a decade of executive leadership experience, Keith has worked with clients from all walks of life to achieve financial success, personal growth, and stronger family foundations. He is passionate about creating equitable access to financial education and resources, and about strengthening men to become examples for the next generation. So, today we are talking to Mr. Dean, and we're talking about fathers. And this is a heavy one. Remember now, this show is about becoming a better version of you. Not only just becoming a better version of you, but enhancing families. So somebody sent me a crazy little text last week talking about how are you trying to do this and that and all kind. You missed the whole thing. It's gone over your head, sir. I am doing this because I want to share information so that you could be better, I can be better, we could have better relationships, our marriages can work, our relationships, our intimate relationships can work, and also so that we can be better fathers, mothers to our children. I can't tell you how many times working with adults, I have to tell you, the program that I offer, we have to go all the way back because most of the issues that they have today rooted in childhood. It's rooted in their mother stuff, and their father's stuff. So I'm doing this, guys and girls, women and men, so that you could get it, so that you could change. We don't have a children's problem, you know. We have a parenting problem. And we've been sucking a long time. Both the women and men, mothers and fathers. But today, because you know, I hear for the man's them. Brittany, we have a call already, eh? Okay. Anyway, before we jump into it, let me see what this person, because they sound anxious to get on Tell It to Stanley today. So let's go, man. Let me hear this caller. Caller, come. Let's go. Come through.
Tell It to Stanley.
Hey.
Hi, Stanley. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Great. I want to hear about this dinner date.
Okay. I'm going to turn you over to Brittany. Brittany, just give Brittany your contact information and your name, and I'll call you afterwards.
Okay.
Okay? Alrighty.
All right.
Okay. All right. And I love that. I love when guys excited about dating and all that. That just gave me a little bit of hope, Mr. Dean.
Yep.
Because sometimes I be hopeless out here. I be hopeless, sir. I be hopeless. I ain't lying. But anyhow, like I was saying today, this is what we're talking about. We're talking about parenting. And we're not only just talking about parenting little children. We're talking about even adults, because there are a lot of grown women and men who are still struggling, still mad with their dads, still mad with their mummies. But we're talking about daddies today. So today, guys, this is about you again. Because some of y'all don't like go to counseling. So think of telling to stand here. This is your free session. This is your free little session here. Okay, guys? So that's where we want to go. Now, Mr. Dean wrote a book, and I like this book. I enjoyed reading the book, and I'm a reader. Like, I have a library.
Thank you.
I have a library of books. I'm very nerdy in a way. Yeah, in a crazy little weird way. And so people send me books a lot, too. And boy, I ain't gonna tell you a word like Mr. Dean. Sometimes them book don't be too good, I ain't lying. Yeah, don't be. Don't. Y'all ever want ghostwriter write your book?
No.
But sometimes the book don't be too good. But sometimes the books are really, really good. And I enjoyed reading this book. And what was funny to me was that, like I shared with you before we even got started today, I was making my notes for the show, and I was like, oh, there's some good stuff. Oh, I like this. This is good. And then I burst out laughing, because then when I look, I wasn't even in chapter one.
You just reading the introduction.
Yeah, that just was the introduction. Literally, it only was the introduction that I was making notes about. So, anyway, I can show you my little notes. I left my big black book home. You know, Heather was talking about the big black book. That's Chalastania Take Over the World book. That got everything in it. As I tell you, it's a version of me that's very, very nerdy. So anyway, we're going to jump into it. Mr. Dean, why did you even want to do this book?
Well, it's interesting. I think what transpired, why I really wanted to get this book, was because talking to my daughter, Juliet.
Right.
One of the things that always used to come up was the emotional intelligence aspect of men in the Bahamas, right? And I would think about what she was saying, that, you know, man, the men just are not, and stuff like that. And so I tried to analyze that within myself as to why. Why is that? And the reality is that I think we are all living, because of the family situation today, I think we were all living in this revolving door where there's a lack of exampleship in the
right.
home. And so if you are not seeing emotional intelligence
right.
and how it is to be utilized to assist within a family framework, then what is going to happen to the next generation? Because they're not seeing it. And
right.
and then, too, it's not just that. The expectation now is that if daughters, what are daughters? If
right.
daughters are not seeing it, then they don't know how to deal with the emotional intelligence as well. So it's a real, and so that's how I got into thinking about, hey, this is something that we really need to look into.
Right.
Because we have so much, the home front is so defragmented. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
In our day and age right now. And so we really need to look at how important it is for us to understand the value of fatherhood.
Mm-hmm.
I think men need to understand their value in actually bringing, is more than just facilitating clothes and facilitating,
right.
you know, but being a father, this is what the book talks about. Being a father means being there.
So I have a question. Okay. As a Bahamian male.
Yes.
Now, I know you said your daughter would have said, oh, daddy, the emotional intelligence. And believe it or not, my daughter said the same thing. My 20-year-old daughter. She said, Mommy, you could be, if you planning to date or marry a Bahamian man, you're not. You ain't getting married. She said, Mommy, I feel like you need to go and maybe meet other people, because the way Bahamian men think, is not good. Like, it's the emotional intelligence is very kind of low. Sometimes I feel like, and I'm being very honest and transparent here, sometimes I feel like they just want us to shut up and comply. Seriously. So my question to you, Mr. Dean, now, my daughter mentioned it. Your daughter mentioned it. My daughter's 20. Your daughter's in her 30s, right?
Yes.
Okay. So as a Bahamian male, have you noticed sometimes, because see, if I say it, Mr. Dean, they're going to say, I am bitter. So I'm asking you, have you seen where sometimes Bahamian men emotionally may not have been very developed?
Well, put it this way, perception is 9/10 of reality, right?
Right.
And my daughter wasn't the only young lady that I spoke to mm-hmm. with respect to trying to get, you know, get there. So after she said that to me, I spoke to various ages of women, and they said they were all saying the same thing, okay? They were all saying the same thing. And so there's a perception out there, regardless mm-hmm. of whether that perception may be real or not.
Mr. Dean, you slick. Okay. I see what you do right there.
Regardless of whether that perception may be real or not, right? The reality is this is the way they are feeling. This is the way women are feeling towards us.
And I'm asking you too, okay, you know, and I spank up the women too. I spank up the women too, because I can say too that, okay, I've seen where women are, and I could say us, me, because I've been there too, delusional, where we also have, you know, we have a set of issues. And I say it too, because sometimes women can't receive it if a man says it. So that's why I'm asking, because now they would say, you know, if you just say, oh, well, this is what women see. Okay, yes. But I say all, Mr. Dean, I'm just saying, do you see how we can perceive it as emotionally underdeveloped then?
I think that what we have to realize is that because there is a lack of mm-hmm. it showing
right.
within the home,
mm-hmm.
okay? So a young man grows up in the home without a father.
Right.
He does not see how, from a father's perspective, what emotional intelligence is.
Okay.
So he's growing up without that, right? Mm-hmm. And then what is his environment in school? All he is seeing is female teachers. You go to the bank, all he is seeing is female tellers. Everywhere he is seeing the
right.
interactions with the females, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so he's not getting.
I agree.
He's not getting that. So mm-hmm. when he goes out now to date, what is he lacking? He is lacking that, not because it's a
mm-hmm.
desired thing for him to do,
right.
but he just has not been given the example of okay. how to deal with it. And it's the same thing from a female perspective, okay? If she doesn't grow up with a father in the home who is showing her what emotional intelligence should be like, from a male perspective, okay, she is, her perspective now comes from probably, and from the young, from the males too, come from what they see in the movies and what they see in these rap videos and what people telling them, and not actually real life experiences of how it should be happening within the home.
Okay, and we're going to get into like the notes that I made from the introduction alone.
Okay.
Right. And I agree with you. Working with, that's right, I don't know, I can't speak a whole lot about the males, young males, and I don't like to touch things that I don't know. I don't know if I could share my little one, 2 cents, but, you know, the wise person know that they don't know everything, and that's okay. So, but working with females, I have noticed, especially when I worked with females who not doing so well, young females, they did not even have, they don't have good female representation. So you're saying that it's something similar with the young men, or they don't have that good male representation, because they could have male representation, but then what is this male representing?
Exactly. What is he representing?
Okay, I got
you. You can't share what you don't have.
Okay, so let's start now, because the first thing you said, or one of the first things I saw, was that you said that Jesus was a good example.
Amen.
So let's start there.
Amen.
Man, listen, y'all got to get this. Y'all got, not even going to say no Lil Evil, because you know every time when people put Lil in the front of it, that doesn't sound like you trying to make something sound small. But y'all got to get this ebook because it's good, because I like the way that you broke it down very, very, it was simple, it was easy reading, but it was profound. So, okay, let's go into Jesus as a good representation of a father.
Yeah. Well, the greatest example to me for all of us to follow is that of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, one of the most profound things he said was, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Okay? That's plain and simple. And so what we need to do is look at how did he love the church? I mean, when we talk about the church, we're talking about the people, right?
Right.
And so what did he do to show his love for the people, for the church? And what did he do? He took care of them. He fed them. He mm-hmm. healed them. He was there for them.
Right.
Okay? And so if we look through the scriptures and see that, we would find out when he says, husbands, love your wives,
right,
then we should use that as an example. If we want to really love our wives, then these are the examples that we should follow. How did he communicate? Okay? How did he communicate? And stuff like that. So I think from the first perspective, that's what we should be looking at as husbands. If we want to be a husband, then we need to utilize that exampleship.
Okay.
First and foremost, to ensure that we actually do.
Okay, so now you mentioned, okay, and I saw that there was a caller on the line a minute ago, but I saw that the caller hung up. So just give us a minute, guys. I just want to get through this first part of it. You see how important this is, so, Mr. Dean? You see people are trying to call because they're messaging me on my cell phone too, by the way, on my private cell phone. Okay, now you said when I started to read, you talked about how Jesus was of service. You know, we see him washing feet.
Yes.
Now, listen, the average Bahamian man, I ain't say all, Mr. Dean, they want to serve them.
Mm-hmm.
The father, that's just the head, all hail the father. Could you break down? I need both too. Now, they need to go get your book, but I need you to pinpoint and highlight two things that Jesus did that you think maybe we don't get or men don't get as fathers.
I think from the perspective of just what you say, I think we need to understand that as men,
right?
Okay, as men, that our role in the whole plan that our Heavenly Father has for His children is divine,
right?
And because it is divine, He has sent an example for us to follow, and that was our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, right?
Right.
And so whatever Christ did, and I go back to that, whatever he did, you talked about washing the feet.
Okay.
Right. We talk about feeding the 5,000. We talked about healing individuals. We talked about listening and talking to individuals. We talk about the lady at the well and how he addressed her when she didn't even feel that you should be speaking. She didn't, why are you speaking to me? Okay. So that the interaction and how we deal with our female counterparts.
Okay.
If we look at that example, if we look at his example and how we treat and the parables he told and how we should be treating others, this is how we should be as men because of our divine role.
So he was firm but gentle.
Yes, ma'am.
Gentle yet firm.
And
right? Now, I know I can mess up this little Bible verse, Mr. Dean.
No, go ahead. I'm not a scriptorian.
I thank God I got friends who is the prophetess and apostle and all these type of things, because they just have to set me straight. But I believe it's a Bible verse where it talks about how the man should present his wife, you know, kind of clean up, trying to, you know, I can't remember. And I know, listen, Mama Kay, let me know. Mama Kay, if you're listening, send me that scripture. Mama Kay is at Revive Church. But anyway, okay. We're talking about how the man can clean this woman up. Like I said, sometimes it feels as though men may not be gentle, you know, with with their woman, with the mother of the child, or with the wife, whatever it is. And I talked about this before, where I said that there's a little girl in all women, and that this is the part that men have to focus on, like being gentle with her and not being harsh and mean. Now, before we go on, I see there's a call on the line, and I really want people to get their questions in. Brittany, send them through.
Hello.
Hi, hello.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Thank you, God. Let me voice my opinion. You might not remember the voice, but let me tell you something. As a 74-year-old senior citizen that grew up in the Anglican Church from St. Matthew, St. George's Cathedral, and all of these things, and went through the government high, and I listened to most of you on these talk shows. But I can say one thing. The talk shows that they have on Saturday mornings are the most explicit and best talk shows that they have all during the week, from Monday to Friday, from 6 o'clock in the morning, it's right going in there, who are all egotistical about their talk show host personalities.
Man, you want me to get
but the people
now.
That be on yeah. Saturdays, mornings, yeah. and every day
yes.
are the clearest people and talk the most truth.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate
because
that.
Because I can say one thing. I even had your religious people on your talk show right now with you talking about what Jesus said mm-hmm. about this Christianity and everything.
Okay.
But there's no proof about what Jesus said, because all we grew up was brainwashed from a book called the King James Version of the Bible.
Okay, so
written by 47 Oxford white people in England that okay. they passed down to us black people.
Okay, sir.
And no, let me say that.
No,
but there's no proof of what Jesus said. Everything is what the people in England wrote, and they wrote
okay.
saying what Jesus
okay.
said.
Has anybody ever heard
what Jesus said?
Okay, I gotta cut you for now. Thank you for calling, but I have to cut you. And I have to cut you, too, because if we go down that road, we ain't going to finish. We're not going to cover what we came here to cover. So now, yeah, we ain't know what Jesus say. Ain't nobody was there. We're going to go off of what this model of what we say we're a Christian nation. So we go and offer the model of what we believe, right? Because it's all about belief. But if we go down that road, sir, we're not going to get through the material, and we have to, because people need help. Okay. So, Mr. Dean. Yeah, so you were talking about just being gentle and Jesus being of service to people.
Mm-hmm. I think once again, revert back, you can only share with that which you know, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you are not seeing what it means to be gentle from the male perspective,
right,
then it's hard for you to understand how to share that. It's hard for you to know how to give it, okay, because you have never seen it being shared.
Right.
You know what I mean? And then you watch, and especially if there is a toxic relationship,
right,
between the in-home parents, or whether the father is outside of the home and there's a toxic relationship with the mother,
right,
then how do you learn to be gentle?
Right.
Because as a child, you're growing up, you're just sponging, right? And so it becomes very difficult to be able to share that when you get out of it, if you don't have it. If a teacher don't tell you 2 + 2 = 4,
okay,
you will never know 2 + 2 = 4.
Okay.
And that's the crux of the book, you know, being a good example in the home and how to get there.
So what happens when this father's not showing up? What do you think happens to the child? Like if the father doesn't embrace his role as his father, or put another way, what do you think we get from fathers? Like what's that role? What are we supposed to get?
what you're supposed to get, the role that you're supposed to get from a father is that of leadership,
right,
love, and caring. Okay? Leadership, love, caring, and being there. And I can't stress that more enough. Just the fact that you are there as a parent,
right,
gives the child confidence, male or female,
right,
gives the child confidence that there is somebody there who cares about them and cares about their needs. And that gives hope. That gives somebody hope. That gives a child hope. That gives the child confidence. That makes the child feel that they can achieve whatever they want to achieve. When a father is there at one of their graduate
events, yes,
events, okay,
yeah,
and backing them 100%, 24/7. If a father is there helping them doing their homework.
Okay, we're going to get into these pillars.
Yeah.
And, you said it, that we need you to be there. You know, there's a lot of, like, there's this thing that single married female. Mm-hmm. Or single married mother. Let me call it single married woman, mother. You know, going all the way back. Anyway, see, I'm on. And anyway, we got into the pillars, but we got some caller on the line, and I don't like to have the callers there, you know, too long. So, caller, go ahead. Brittany, send them through. Hello.
Hi. Good afternoon. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm fine, thank you. I tend to agree with the caller, Sonia. I love the show.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
I love that. But my question is, right, you have some fathers out there who are really trying to be good fathers. Is that what I'm saying?
Yes, yes.
I'm talking about they taking care of their children, buying what the child needs, helping them pick up and drop off. But you have some mothers who seem to want to hold these men hostage with their children.
Mm-hmm.
So my question really is, how do you be a good father when you do not have a cooperative or a good mother?
Okay.
With, you know, without that being your wife, I get that you're from the church, but how do you be a good father when you're out of wedlock, or even in some instances in wedlock, when you are with someone who, you know, everybody, true colors has come out when you have children with them, honestly.
Right.
So how do you be a good father and you persevere even when the mother is telling you, I ain't letting you see this child unless you do this. I'm not doing this. Even considering the law doesn't give men
rights
to their children who are born out of wedlock. How do you still be a good father, son?
All right. That's a good one. Thank you, caller, for calling. And I'm definitely going to let Mr. Dean take that question. And Mr. Dean, I'm sitting at your feet. Go on.
Yeah. I think when we get into the confrontational,
right,
and we're talking about confrontation here, right? And it could be very many reasons,
mm-hmm,
okay, why that happens, why
right,
the situation in which the caller address happens, right? There can be many reasons for that. But if the father, I would suggest, this is my suggestion, that I truly believe, and I go back to the premise of the spiritual premise. I truly believe that God answers prayers, right? And because I truly believe that, if a father really wants to know how he should deal with that situation,
mm-hmm,
deal with the situation that he is going through, because the Bible says to us, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and abradeth not, and it shall be given him. I truly believe that if a father asks with sincere heart and real intent, that our Heavenly Father will give him the answer in how he should deal with the situation. And every situation is different, okay? The result may be, the actions may be the same, but every situation is different. Why one lady won't let the father see, or why it could be so many reasons why, we don't know.
Right.
So the answer to solving that is different.
Yeah.
And that the truth of it can only come, I believe, can only come with the help of a loving Heavenly Father. And then we as a nation gotta press the government to change some of these laws.
Oh yeah, definitely. Okay, I want to get into these pillars too of fatherhood. Okay, so let's go down. Let's talk about the pillars of fatherhood. And in speaking about what the caller had said too, I totally agree that the laws definitely need to change. There's a young man who was supposed to come on the show. He was sharing with me how it was so difficult for him to be a part of his daughter's life. It got to the point where he literally was stalking his daughter. And when I say stalking, I'm meaning...
It's a sad situation.
He was waiting for the thankfully, a family member, you know, kind of would let, okay, this, you know, the mommy ain't here. You could come in here. You could come and visit, blah, blah, blah. And our neighbors would tell him, okay, then she ran away. One time he went there, then the mommy pull up, he running, he trying to get over the wall before, but going through all of this just so he could see his daughter. But the thing about it is that to the men who going through that, your children are your gems. Don't give up.
Right. Don't give up.
Don't give up. Because when the child gets older, they will know that my daddy never let me go. They never give up. Listen, as much times as I done beat my daddy dead bad, but things, I tell you the other day, I say, I must be getting soft and I feel bad. I had to talk to daddy a little hard. But I did feel bad because out of all the things that daddy ever did, he maybe didn't get everything right, but he surely didn't do everything wrong. And one thing he never did was let us go. So let's jump into the pillars because the pillars are very, oh, we got caller again. Okay. Okay, look at that. Caller, what you got to say today?
Yeah, good afternoon, Stanya.
Good afternoon.
And good afternoon to your guests. And, you know, this is a very important issue, but the sad reality is I can't believe men are still going through the same thing. It's called parental alienation syndrome. That's when the custodial parent brainwashes the child with all sorts of negative vibes, withholding them, or, you know, from the father. But I realized deficiency in the law in the early 2000s, and it took me 40 months to lead a charge in getting the Child Protection Act passed in Parliament, which is supposed to address all of these things that you're talking about, you know.
Okay.
But I'm very amazed that when I looked at the law in its present state, and I said that it would take the Bahamas 50 years backwards, but didn't come close to addressing our international arrangement which we have with that treaty which we signed on to, which speaks to the Convention on the Rights of the Child.
Okay.
And hence, we are having what we are having now, a lot of dysfunctional children, fathers, families, and it seems as if that the system wants it this way.
Okay, caller, thank you for calling in. All right, yes, they are correct, but once again, we got to stay to the topic, because the topic... and that is that you're right, but also there are many men who use that as an excuse too, because sometimes now, guys, we can't keep letting you pop up today, then we don't see you till 2 months. Children need consistency and stability too. So sometimes, not all, because I just mentioned a situation with the mother withholding, but a lot of times men also say they use that as an excuse too. But we ain't focusing on that. We focusing on how to be a better father. Okay, that's a show for another day, and I need lawyers on so that they could go over, you know, what people can do from what they can do. So now let's go through this pillar of fatherhood, because fathers, some excelling, but some are not. So we are talking so that you could be a better father. Let's go, Mr. Dean. What are the pillars?
Well, the pillars from the book, one of the first pillars is that of being there spiritually.
Okay.
Okay, and that means that you need to be able to share with your children the value of what it truly means to be human. Okay, and humanity, what humanity is all about. I am a Christian. I believe that Jesus is the Christ. But that's why I say spiritual, because there are many different faiths out there that individuals can be a part of. But what I'm saying is that whatever your spirituality is, you need to focus that within the home.
So what that mean? You say to be human, and I have my thoughts, but before before I give my two cents, what does that mean? Like, what that looks like?
I think what is one of the biggest things that is happening now in the world is the lack of humanity.
But
in the world, the lack of humanity, how we look at each other and see each other. I don't think we are no longer seeing each other as children of our Heavenly Father, as brothers and sisters. I think because we don't see each other as that, we talk to each other in derogatory manners. That's one of the reasons why I think we have, when we look at our children who are killing children,
okay,
because they don't see that as their brother.
So what you're saying is that, okay, and you said spiritually, and you said not necessarily, whatever your spirituality is, because of a version of spirituality may simply just be a moral code that you live by.
Yes.
Okay? So I know y'all going to say, because I know y'all here don't be too good sometimes on line. Because I know you're going to say, Stan, you got a problem with it, da-da-da. But I've seen Christians, and this is one of the reasons, this is why I like to say I'm a woman of God, I'm not so much a woman of church, because I feel like Christians lack character. They have the Bible down pack, right? But they don't, like let the human come in a little bit, if you understand what I'm saying. For example, I've had clients where, oh, well, you shouldn't be having, you don't have sex, you don't do this. Don't, no girls coming around there. And I'll tell you this, many, when I think about some of the clients that I have, they were gay. You let all the fellas come in. You talking about don't let no girls come around. Oh, this is it. Or, you know, well, this is how it is. And, like, there's no room for error. There's no room for their child to just be a child. And, you know, and then sometimes, you know, as Christians, like, it's almost like the Christian forgot even the things that they did. So there's no understanding you better don't hang out with that person. That person is not a Christian. Okay, I say, but where Jesus was hanging to? I feel like, okay, the role of the parent, the father, mother, you got to talk to your children, and you have to also be real and understanding. And I agree with you. As parents, you have to show your children that everyone is still an extension of you. That's your brother. That's your sister. This is wrong. This is not wrong. Let's have empathy.
Here you go.
The only empathy they have for people is the people who are in the church. They have no empathy for nobody who ain't in the church. I tell you, you can forgive the pastor who done do 10,000 things. Oh, that he did repent. He did da-da-da. That time you only repent because you get catch. Someone outside of the church does something wrong?
Yeah. And that's you know, and like you, I'm not a scriptorian. So there is a scripture that that says, that goes to the fact that what is being said is that they come close to me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And I think that's a self-evaluation.
Yes.
That every human being, regardless of faith, has to look at with respect to their personal faith. Okay, with respect to whatever their personal faith is. You know, are you a lip person or are you a heart person?
So,
is it coming from your heart or are you just a lip sinker?
So in other words, you're saying so the father should show up, like show your son how to just be good.
What it means to be a good person.
Uh-huh.
And that's by example. And not you know, how we say it.
Don't do as
I do.
Right, do as I say.
Okay, you have to, you can't confuse the child by saying, oh, don't argue.
Right.
Okay, don't argue. But then when you go out talking to somebody, you're shouting, saying vulgarity and stuff, but then you're telling the child, well, don't talk like that. No, that's confusing. That confuses the child. And even if you're doing it in the home, if you are not caring, you're saying, oh, you got to be a caring person.
Right.
But how you treat your spouse or how you treat
the neighbor, whoever,
and they see this conflict and they are saying, but they're going to go by your actions,
right,
not necessarily by your words. words, they're going to follow your actions.
And then, and there's also even a loss of respect. Like, I've seen so many, I ain't talking about the church no more, y'all. I can leave y'all alone for right, right now. But I've seen so many boy children in particular, like, they have no respect for their father. No respect. And they have no respect because they see you. And they see what the outside don't see. They see you. They see you when the mask off and when the mask is on. So, yeah, there's a lack of respect that a lot of times boys have for their fathers because they see you. And they see the crap that you're doing or have done.
And I think it goes back to what you were saying. Persevere.
Yeah.
Even regardless of what the mother,
right,
how would the mother be saying or denying you? I think because what normally happens is that if the mother is home struggling,
right,
okay, if the mother is home struggling, the question is going to be in the child's, why is she struggling?
Right.
Okay, why is she struggling? Why mama going through this? How come, and the child goes to school, and he is hearing what mama and dada, what are two home parents like, and what their daddy doing, and then he realizes, hey, but my daddy ain't there.
I was just going to say, Mr. Dean, sometimes fathers just make it very easy for children to see, ain't nothing slick happening.
Yeah, so persevering through the madness is key, regardless of what is being said. And that's what I'm saying. Sometimes, you know, we can't let our ego
get in the way.
And, you know, us men, we have that ego. But we have to humble ourselves.
Right.
Okay? We have to humble ourselves sometimes to achieve the greater good. You know, we brought a child, and we were a part of bringing a child into the world, and that is a child of God. And they deserve every opportunity, every single opportunity to achieve the greatness and the design that God has for them. And I think once we have made that choice, okay, hopefully enjoyably, to bring that child into the world, and because of that, I think we should be doing whatever we possibly can to ensure that that child has an enjoyable life.
Okay, so what's the second pillar? So that one was spiritual, which means to lead by example. It means to just showing your child how to be good, just simply good, and how to be good, y'all, okay? And I mean, let me tell you this, part of being good, like, I had this conversation with a friend when I said, you know something, parents are life coaches, you know. And of course, my friend is like, here she go again. She think everybody's a life coach, but we are. You can show your children by being good, guys. By, what do you think you should do in this situation? Let them think. Okay, now, but if you do that, what do you think will happen? Do you think the right thing to do is this or that? But see, the problem is sometimes parents ain't know what the right. Anyway, let me go on. Number two. let me go on. Number two. Lord, look how I must see. Anyway, come on, let's go. Yeah. Number two.
One of the other things, one of the other pillars is that of financial, right?
Okay, financial.
Another pillar is that of financial.
Okay.
And this is where we as parents and as husbands should be helping our children understand what finance really is and how to budget and how to do the things that need to be done in order to keep a stable family environment financially. Okay. I think, and when a father is in the home and him and his wife sit down with the family and start at an early age with your children, okay, talking to them about money, talking to them about finance, talking to them about budgeting, it helps as the child grows, he understands what the proper use of money is, how to save, how to do all of these things, and how to make sure that their financial astuteness.
Okay, so now I have a question.
Yeah.
And I love how you said it's important that the children see daddy. You said it. You said he's sitting down with his wife, with the mother, and he's going through this stuff. Once again, sometimes I feel like, just shut up and comply. Like, that's shut up and comply. But you said it, with his wife. He's not making all the decisions. He's doing it together. Okay, that's point one. And let me tell you all, I am doing this because I don't want y'all to miss the point. Number two, Mr. Dean, let's say, because a lot of times we're not, I mean, like the mother and father may not have a relationship. They may be divorced, maybe never married or what have you. So maybe there's not an opportunity for the mother and father to actually come together and do that. It would be great. It really would be good. But okay, let's say, how can the father do this? Let's say he's driving down the road. He's driving with his daughter, son, or whatever. How can he now have that conversation? Like, what would that conversation look like?
I think the conversation is pretty simple, you know. The conversation, mm-hmm. it's a matter of just being aware. I think it's just a matter of being aware and say, hey, okay, how much money? Simple thing. How much money do you have left? Let's say he gave the child $5 for lunch.
Right. Okay? How did you spend that? Yeah.
Right. And how did you spend your money? What did you spend it on? Okay. Just like, you know, what did you spend it on? Do you have anything left? Did you save anything for tomorrow?
Yes.
Did you save anything for tomorrow? And you could talk about that. And then you could say, well, listen, you could talk about accounts. Once the conversation starts, you can start talking about you just have to bring up finance. You have to be intentional as a parent. You have to be intentional about wanting your child to learn about money early and how to use it wisely and how to use it productively and how to save.
So not just Mr. Dean giving the child the money or mommy the money or what have you, because I know my dad would have, like, he's an amazing provider, but when I think about mommy in a way, but when I think about it, they didn't really show me, okay, Stanya, you put this egg, okay, let's go open this account, okay, you do this. So you're saying, daddies, you're driving in your big truck or your little cube, and you say, you're talking to little Johnny, okay, Johnny, now you had $5, now you make sure you put 50 cents and you get with that little piggy bank, what I did buy for you. Make sure every time someone give you money, put a little bit of it in there. Okay, and you know, the child be like, well, why I gotta do that? Because little Johnny, you don't know when you're gonna need that, or you know how you go in a way, you won't go away, right? And they, yes, okay, and you won't have your own money? And you see daddy is have his own money?
I'm affiliated with Men of Today, Men of Tomorrow, the nonprofit for dealing with at-risk young boys. And one of the things that I do in the after school program is I teach entrepreneurial skill sets to young men in grades 4 through 6. Okay? And so there are many, many simple videos that are like 2 minutes long.
Right.
That you can show, that you can actually sit down with your child at home, watch the video. They, no more than 2 to 3 minutes, that talk about finance, that talk about budgeting, that talk about assets, that talk about liabilities, that talk about job and work and helping kids. And kids love videos, right? They're into the video now. That's what they're into. And so you may not even have to have that discussion.
A conversation,
You could just sit for 2 to 3 minutes and then ask questions.
What you think about that video?
What you think about that video? You want, let's try save up. That video talk about saving. Let's try save up for our trip next month.
Yes.
And so they may be eager to do it. You know, they'll be eager to do it. And then you say, okay, I'm going to give you $5 out of that $5. And when you save $1 for your trip.
Because I've noticed, and like I said, my dad would have done this a lot. Where most men, they just give in the money, or they're great at it now. Right? I mean, I want daddy stop doing that. But they're great at giving the money, but not showing that, okay, or even like there's something I would do with my daughter. Every time if I did something and I wanted her to get what I'm saying, like as simple as, boy, it feels so good when you pay your own bills, eh? Or, okay, a man, open the door. Malia, that was so nice of him to open the door. He's such a gentleman. So you're showing them what it looks like. Okay, Johnny, come go with me to the bank. We gonna go put money inside the bank account. Okay, now Johnny, when you get a little older, I gotta open up your bank account so you could have your big money too. So they have to have. So it's not just giving them the money, because a lot of times I feel like fathers just give the money, you know, without or I like to say money gets you off the hook. And when I say that, meaning that I've noticed that guys, they give the money, and once they give the money, they feel like they don't have to do nothing else. They don't, their job is done. They don't provide. And that's a thing. They're not helping them spiritually. They're not guiding the young man, saying, hey, you was wrong, or this is how it is to be a man, or even your daughter done mess up with one fella. Okay, listen, when this clown come around here, tell this clown, blah, 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 blah. Or listen now. Lisa, you ain't need to date this type of man, that type of man, this the type of man he is, blah, blah, blah. So they, most of the times, men, they give the money. Think about it. The person who's give the money in the family is seldom the one who's do the work. Money is let people off the hook. And a lot of times men have been left, they off the hook because they give the money, and everything else is the job of somebody else to do.
Yeah. And that could be for various reasons.
Right.
That could be for various reasons. It could be.
Okay. I need to take a break. I need to take a break. You see who my boss is in here? Y'all be thinking I'd be lying on Brittany. Anyway, we got to take a break. We'll be back.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Struggling with life's problems? Love, business, health, or family? Negative vibes affecting your life? Call Master Donik Maharaj, psychic and spiritual healer, expert in astrology, horoscopes, palm reading, face reading, tarot, love reading, spiritual analysis, and more. Find a solution to your problem within days. Call or WhatsApp 454-0787 today and get private or four results with Master Donik Maharaj. One call can change your life.
Are you searching for something new? Something exciting? Your dream job in paradise? Well, look no further. Royal Beach Club Paradise Island is hiring. Join a dynamic group of passionate hospitality professionals, craft unforgettable moments, and thrive in a vibrant, welcoming atmosphere. Play your part in shaping the future of our team while growing your own career every day. Bring your energy, your passion, and your creativity to a workplace that's as dynamic and fun as you are. At Royal Beach Club Paradise Island, the opportunities don't just exist. They're limitless. So are you ready to find your perfect fit? Visit Royal Beach Club at paradiseisland.com/career today and step into a world of exciting possibilities.
Girl, you see how Cora eye look funny all black up yesterday?
But she say she bump into a wall when she's running after the churn them.
Yeah, but last Saturday, you see her arm was all black and blue, right?
What you saying? You think something wrong between her and Jack?
I ain't sure, but you know Jack is a jealous man. I hear him and Cora last Friday. I hear him say he hear Cora have eyes for Junior.
Now, you know that ain't true. Cora is a good woman. Does mind her business, take care of them churn, and go to church every Sunday. So what you think we should do?
I think we should report Jack, you know. Cora don't say nothing, but silence hides violence, and we don't want to line up in the cemetery.
Not me. I ain't getting in nobody business. Then Jack come after me and I line up next to Cora.
No, man, we could call or text Crime Stopper. And remember, we can even get some grocery money for our tip.
Remind me again how this work.
We can call them in Miami at 328 tips or 328-8477. Or when we in the island, call toll free at 300 tips or 300-8477. And if you don't have no minutes, use the Crack Crime Bahamas app and we could text them. And the messages get on mix up before it leave your phone. So nobody can know what you're saying.
So what are we waiting on then? Let's go earn some grocery money.
And we are back. I mean, I know Dwight give me an hour and a half, right? But man, listen, this, I feeling like I must see. I must need about 2 hours on Saturday. I ain't just saying anyhow. Anyways, okay. I know we have a few more pillars that we haven't even touched, and it's already after two. It's already after two. Mr. Dean, I don't see you got to come back again. I'm writing it down. I don't have my big black book with me, but I'm writing it down. Okay, so I have a question, and actually, the question, I touched on this a little bit before we get into, because guess what? Y'all need to go get Mr. Dean's book. So if we don't finish all these pillars, because there's so much more information, y'all need to go get Mr. Dean's book. That's what I know. Anyhow, so somebody messaged, and I have this, I had it written down, and they said, what about men who think only women should teach the children? Okay, I touched on this earlier when I said single married mother. So several things. All right. When I worked at a place I worked at before, a whole bunch of us, boy, I know what was in the water. All of us was pregnant at the same time. Literally, like, one after another within this period.
Coming trees.
Yeah, Mark. Well, it was more than three. It was, right. It was one after the next. We were all pregnant. So I remember, I'm like, oh, boy, listen, this really beating me bad. One version of the single married mother. I was like, oh, this beating me bad. So I'm like, how y'all managing, you know? But I said, but anyway, y'all ain't got to worry because y'all have y'all husbands, so y'all don't have to worry. But then they was husband. No, Stanley, we also have to get up and in the middle of the night, we all, you know, we have to do all that. My husband, he'll tap me and tell me I need to go deal with that. That's one thing, Mr. Dean. Then getting a little older, and as a child is now growing, I've seen, and I don't know, and I'm being very, I don't have no horse in this race. I don't know if it's like a cultural thing or what, but I've seen, let's say, can you do the school pickup? No, that the mommy have to figure out, and this whether or not they married or not married, the mommy have to figure out how to go and get this child from school. The daddy, I mean, okay, all right. There are situations where it's like, okay, can you, and this sounds so stupid to me, babysit, because I know how you're babysitting your own child. But anyway, no, I can't do that. I have something to do. So it's almost sometimes it feels like, now I don't, like I said, I don't know if culturally, and I have seen some situations where men feel like the first few years is the mom, and then when the child gets a little older, they take over more. I've seen that too. But what is going on with, it's almost like, right, y'all, you more responsible, like the mother is more responsible for doing, you know, for that type of work. And I don't know if it's a cultural thing where Bahamian men feel like, okay, well, the mommy got to go deal with that. She got to go figure this out, or the child stay home. She got to stay home with the child. Whatever it is, it's like the mom have to do that kind of work. I don't get that. Do you think it's cultural? Like, what's going on?
I think it's cultural.
You think it's cultural?
I think a lot of it is cultural, and I think that has to be deculturalized, because I think we all have a role to play,
right,
in making sure that the child we decided to bring into the world, okay, is indeed well taken care of in every aspect. The relationship between the two parents, okay, should be primarily focused when it comes to the child, for the benefit of the child. What is the benefit of the child?
Right.
And I think when the father abdicates that role,
right,
okay, he is not looking at benefiting the child, okay? And once again, understanding, and sometimes it may be because, like I said before, if you really don't understand what your role is because you have never seen your role in front of you and what it should be like, it's hard for you to bring it into existence or to bring it into existence. So it's important. It's very important that, and that's one of the reasons why I wrote the book, is so that individuals can take a look and see, well,
what it looks like,
what the expectation is. This is so that the cycle, wherever it is now, the cycle can be broken. That you can say, well, because even so, the daughter doesn't know what a real man should be looking
like. Exactly.
Okay? And so when she goes out there looking for a real man,
she don't know what it is.
And so it's difficult now for her. And if he don't know what it is to be a real man, and she don't know, mm-hmm. and all they're doing is getting information from outside sources,
right.
which may be negative, which may not be wholesome, they are, you know what I mean? There's going to be conflict. So I think the goal here is to say, hey, okay, this is where we need to be. Now take it from here. And, you know, to stop that revolving door cycle.
Yeah, and mind you, and once again, see, I have to say this. Y'all don't kill me, but I have to say this because, see, we talking about emotional intelligence. But I have to say this because sometimes y'all emotional intelligence, seriously, it don't be intelligent in. Right, and I know that I know what I saw. That's why I have to come and say this because, okay. I'm not saying all men are like this because I know many men actually who have custody of their children. I know many men who work all day long, and I am not even sugarcoating this, work all day long. Their wife home ain't doing a Christ thing. And when the man come home, he got to go wash the children clothes, cook, do every blasted thing. So I know. So I'm not talking to you. I'm not talking to those men. Okay? I got to say that. I'm speaking to the men who, if the child's sick, you expect the mother to stay home always. If it's midterm break, you expect the mother have to figure out where this child is going. There's her car breakdown or she busy or whatever. It's up to the mother. The mother have to figure out how to get this child from school. I'm talking to you men who may think that only money, because I tell you, money has let people off the hook.
Use it as a crutch.
Yeah, seriously. When you think about people who got plenty of money, they ain't giving 5 cents. They do whatever they want to do. The person in the family who give the most money, they seldom are the ones who doing the heavy lifting. I'm telling you. Not saying that we don't need money now. As a matter of fact, I'll go wait for my little, I got one little thing for y'all with money, but anyhow. But it's a real thing, Mr. Dean, where it sometimes appears as though it's the woman's role. And like you said, I don't know if it's a cultural thing where she have to do everything but she's totally responsible for this child's well-being. And that's not fair.
And it isn't. It isn't fair.
Right.
It is not. It's not fair. And the more, because the female has grown up, if a female is grown up not in a male household, right?
Right.
And they see females doing that.
Right.
Okay. They have the example, right? Of this is how.
It's supposed to be. So the cycle now continues. Cycle. Oh, my God. That's true,
you
Mr.
Understand
Dean.
Understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
And so you have the man who is the young boy. Let's say he has about his two boys, two girls, right, in the home. And they see the females doing this stuff.
Right.
Okay. And they grow up not seeing the daddy doing the stuff.
Right.
Okay. When they get out into the world, they are believing, because this is what they are seeing,
right,
that
she
this
can
is,
handle it.
That this is the norm.
Yes.
This is what happens.
Oh, my God. I didn't even think about that.
This is the general thing, what happens.
Yeah.
And this is one of the byproducts of not having the man in the home doing these things.
Right.
Not having the man in the home changing diapers.
Yes.
Okay? Washing dishes.
Yes.
Okay? And doing these things.
Because
it leads to the presumption. It leads to the presumption that this is the way life's supposed to be.
Right.
And but once the example is there, it's set, okay? I know when I was growing up, my mom told me, she said, Keith, listen, you're going to learn to cook, you're going to learn to clean, you're going to learn to do all these things.
Right.
Because when you get married and your wife get pregnant, you ain't want no other woman coming in the house to do them. Plain and simple.
Right.
Okay? So you can be doing them.
Right.
And so that's the example, okay? That's the example. And so I think that's what you want to have your children see. That's what the men want to have their children see. And you want men to grow up understanding that these are a part of living. When you go out on your own, this is what you should be able to do. You should be able to learn to cook, to clean, to educate yourself, become intellectually astute. You want to become financially astute because you want to grow up your children to with the goal of being generational wealth builders.
Right.
And to take it forward. You know, with this lack of, that's why it's so important. I think I go back to the very beginning of why it's the man, the male needs to understand what their divine role is in the plan for raising our Heavenly Father's children and not neglect that and persevere through the madness of some situations because it is a divinely appointed role to rear up your children.
So, okay. And I know you've said this throughout the show where it's important, like the best way is to lead by example. Like that's the best way to do it. Because, you know, sometimes just because you got male body parts now, them male body parts, we can't see. Y'all know what I'm talking about.
Right.
But I'm going to get kicked off the air today. And I done say I behaving because Mr. Dean don't know that version of Stanya. Okay.
Be you, Stanya.
Oh, I could be me. Trust me on that. And you know, Stanya, boy, they done coming up where I turn in the big 5-0. So you know.
Okay.
You got a couple days to play with Stanya.
Body time.
Okay, and as a matter of fact, Brittany, you ready? As a matter of fact, just in case my shameless plug, if you want to know what Stanya want for her birthday for her 50th birthday, Brittany, could you please play that little clip, please?
What do you want for your birthday?
Me. Hey.
You perpetuating the myth, man.
Listen, all money. Listen, all women want money, Mr. Dean. That's number one. Number two, the Bible says. See, y'all think because I tell y'all I don't go. I don't tell y'all I a woman of God. The Bible say, Mr. Dean, money answer it, all things.
Oh, my.
And number three, Mr. Dean, since you're bringing up, Mr. Dean, what is one of the things which you got here for what make the man, the good man, the father, blah, blah, blah? Any financial down here?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh.
Yes, ma'am.
You say that, Mr. Dean. Yes. Mr. Dean, I listen.
And that's why I say that. I say that because... and that means that as a, from before you get, okay, one of the things I did, I want to talk about is that, one of the things is that the first step in being a good father is being a good husband.
That's what, okay, early in the show, remember when I was saying that, that this was a blueprint? So let me, because you all think, who this is? Wait, hold on, I got to read. Hold on, this egotistical Stanley now. Hold on 1 second, Mr. Dean. I see something, how great Stanley is. Hold on 1 second, just give me, let me read this little message right here.
Uh-huh.
Okay, what is that? Wait, what do you got now? Hi, Stanley, great show as usual. Okay, that was my love up. Let me go into, how they loving you up now. Let me go into that. I be trying to accent. Sometimes I be trying so hard. Every day I got to fight. Okay. You must bring the guest back to continue this important discussion. Yes, Mr. Dean. Lastly, to answer your question, yes, you do. Oh, you do need 2 hours. I need y'all to sponsor tell it the Sunny Show. Do I need to go play that little clip again? I need to play that. Give me the money. Give Guardian the money. Something. Give Stanley the money. I need to play that no more. Play that for 2 seconds, man, because they ain't
getting it. What do you want for your birthday?
Okay, Brittany, all right. That's right. That's right, because look like y'all ain't listening. Mr. Dean, you like foolishness. Mr. Dean.
Yes.
You okay?
Yes, ma'am. I get.
Listen, in the words of my friend, she says, Stanya, I need my man to come rescue you. You need rescue. Hi. Okay. So anyway, let me finish read this now. Yes. Okay. Hi, Stanya. Great show as usual. You must bring the guest back to continue this important discussion. Lastly, to answer your question, yes, you do need 2 hours or more in order to complete the discussion you bring forth every week. Yes. Thank you so much. Thank you for understanding and getting it. I really appreciate that. On a serious note, I really appreciate when you guys call and or you text and you say what it is or you appreciate it or what have you, because we don't have these kinds of conversations. And this is why I tell you, and I'm not talking no politics and religion. I won't talk about that. Because everybody else talking about that. I don't want to talk, and I don't even want to talk about when, I mean, other shows, where did it. No, I want y'all to get it. I won't get it. We are all on this journey to understand who we are, to grow, to learn, to change, to be a better version of who we are, to be better parents, to be better people. I need to play, see, I know I play in the My Money clip, but, you know, someone, I asked if I could play the clip, so I know I got to go listen. I listened to the whole thing. But she was saying where she works with people, with young girls. Young girls, and I asked her one question. This is the only thing I don't prepare for the show. Out of the children there, and this program that she has, primarily with girls who have behavioral issues. Wonderful girls, but they have behavioral issues. She say one out of 12 children, father in their life. One out of 12. And I cannot believe, guys, that the other 11 mummies don't want them there. No, I ain't gonna believe that. Now, some might be. Some might be, but not all.
And then, too, I want to, I just, with the violence of, with the violence in the country that is killing our male, that is a big perpetuator of fathers not being in the home. Okay? Whenever you listen to these young men dying, and I say young men.
Yeah.
Okay? They are leaving children behind.
Yes.
So that means that when you see them going to jail, they are leaving children, they're leaving children fatherless outside. That's why it has to be nipped into the butt. I don't know if I'm supposed to say that, but yeah. Okay, I'm just saying, because there are so many reasons why there are fatherless homes.
Yes.
Okay.
Right, and then we know that. It's layers to that.
Okay, and so when the father is not in the home, that's why it's so good for, I think, to start having that wholesome, that when we're looking at families,
right,
that it starts from preparing you to be a good husband.
Yes.
Okay, preparing you to be a good husband. Because once you develop yourself to be a good husband, then 9 times out of 10, what is going to happen is that you're going to marry and stay within the home, and the child would then have a two-parent home. And so developing yourself prior to that as a male, developing yourself with all those skill sets will prepare you to be, you know, once you've prayed about it, and this is the one that your Heavenly Father says you should be with, 9 times out of 10, you know what I mean?
Listen.
You'll have a good, productive family life. And you can have your arguments. That's
life. I'd be scared, Mr. Dean. I'd be scared to go get married. I ain't lying. I'd be scared. Ooh. I'd be scared. I ain't gonna lie. But I can leave that for another day. But, okay, earlier you talked about how, you know, these children are seeing women here, women there, women. And I so sick of seeing women. I ain't gonna lie. I sick of seeing women. Seriously, even in the teaching profession, I sick of going to the schools and all I see are female principals. I ain't lying. I sick of it. Or seeing lone female teachers. Sick of it. Because these children need there's an imbalance. No balance. Anyway, I'm going to show you.
I think that is so true.
Yes.
That is so true, because with our after-school program, the Men of Today, Men of Tomorrow, the principals and the principals and the teachers, they're so glad to see us come there.
I'm telling you.
They're so glad to see us come there. Sometimes when they have when they're having issues with some of the young men, they would come and they would say, "Hey, could y'all come and talk to this individual,
yes,
this young man," and stuff like that. And
because y'all have a different presence. And you know, I do a lot of programs in the school. So let me go ahead. I said hello last week. I say it again. Hello, Dr. McPhee. At C.H. Reeves, the principal there. Also, hello, Mr. Gibson at Sadie Curtis Primary School. Like, it was a pleasure to see them. It was a pleasure to see these principals. And let me tell you, they were masculine men. The school was dead quiet. They had order, but there was still a gentleness to them as well. I enjoyed seeing that. You know what I mean? Listen, okay, I see this little text. Number one text is, see, this is what is making me mad with you. This is just what is making me mad with you. Okay, so you say, women learn to fix cars, to change tires. That's when men should be encouraged. I mean, when you want males to reach over and help women without requesting the same. Okay, listen, we are not talking about that. If we do that, if we go back and forth, nothing is going to be done. That's just like saying when we say, oh, well, when that one that hold up his middle finger, y'all rowing, but when this one cuts out this one, but when so-and-so to do his middle finger. Listen, the point is all wrong. And we ain't talking about that. If we do that, you still ain't hearing me. We talking about this. When I was talking about the woman who was acting dead, bad, and terrible last week, I ain't segue into nothing else because dudes is be acting dead, bad, and terrible too. But that ain't what we was talking about last week. Last week we was talking about tricky women who was come around here talking, acting like they nice and kind and quiet and they wicked. This week we talking about how to show up. How to show up as a man. Of course, women doing this. And when I talking about the next thing, of course, the opposite. But if we go with that, nothing will be resolved. We will go back and forth. Take the information and make you a better person.
There you go.
See, y'all, it's cost me to get. I said I was behaving myself.
That's why they love your show, Stanley.
I was behaving myself, Mr. Dean.
That's why they love your show. You can't behave yourself. That's you. That's your show.
But then, see, that's just getting me in trouble with the fellas, too.
No, you being you.
Yes. Yes. But anyway, what I was trying to say, because Brittany done tell me I only got a couple minutes. What I was trying to say is the pillars that Mr. Dean talking about is the same pillars, too, that women, when you're looking for a man, that this is what this man should also possess as well. Okay? Now, Mr. Dean, how people could find your book? Because the book was good.
Yes, you can go online. You can go online to at payhip.com and payhip.com and pull up Real Dogs, Love Their Puppies, and you should be able to get access to the book.
Say it again. What's the name of it?
Real Dogs, Love Their Puppies.
Okay, I'll put it up on Tell It to Stanya Facebook page, but I noticed some of y'all ain't like yet. And I done tell y'all my page looking very struggling. Can y'all please go like? I ain't got no shame, Mrs. Dean. And then I done turning 50, so I done ain't got no shame. Please. Okay, and then I have this little text message. Not little, this text message. Say, good day, Stanley. Please don't forget to mention the principal and staff and PTA of the great Anatole Rogers High School. Yes, Mr. Patterson, a real man and principal. Well, I didn't get to meet it, but that's all right. The staff or the PTA persons, they bigging up their principal child. And that's right, because plenty men out there. I mean, well, maybe not as many, but they do represent, and we love them for it, and we respect them for it. Back in the day, these principals, I mean, the school said the names, I mean, the people that they're named after. You know what I mean? Guys, we need you. This is what this show about. I want to say men still love me. Thank you. Thank you, number one text messenger. You know it all about you now. But anyhow, we doing this show because we need you guys. All fun and jokes aside, we need you. Your girl children need you. The boy children need you. Even the independent woman, them, they need you. They, trust me, they might like doing, making their little money and thing, but child, let me tell you something. They want man dead bad. Are you talking about me? I just can't delegate, Mr. Daddy, like foolishness. Anyway, listen now. That's right. Tell it to Stanya. My birthday is, y'all know, November 3rd. That's right. I'm going to be 50. Number one, I really would like for y'all to sponsor Tell It to Stanya. I really would. I'd appreciate that. And second of all, Brittany, can you play that little clip for 3 seconds, please, Brittany?
What do you want for your birthday?
Hey, Mr. Dean, you laugh every time they Brittany play that. What is happening? Are you okay?
Yes, ma'am.
You sure?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Okay, and that's right. So if you want to sponsor the show, guys, you could message me, 451-6767. You could give me a message. And, of course, if you were blessed and you could, oh, boy, take it and y'all gonna know what that is. Y'all could definitely call. But if you want to sponsor the show, or give, tell us, Tiny Gift, 451-6767. Also, if you want to be a part of the dinner date that is coming up, I must see really y'all making me do this for true, man. The dinner date, and listen, you got to be good, upstanding. The same template, blueprint, with Mr. Dean, spiritually, if you're a gentleman, okay? If you're a good provider, if you're emotionally here, okay? Hello. And if y'all could find out what the other pillars are by buying Mr. Dean book. Don't come try be a part of this dinner date and you know you full of foolishness. And I talking to the women too. Don't do it. Because you know I could call you out. Now, with that said, it's 2:30 and Brittany is telling me I got to wrap this up. 451-6767. If you want to sponsor, tell it to Stania. Like tell it to Stania page. If you want to be a part of dinner date, and if you want to give Stanley a birthday gift. Have a good one. We out.